Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, hello. Welcome to the program. It's Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, way up here on the top of Burnaby Mountain, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkamilamen Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial, gathering to share ideas and words and stories and culture. And I'm very grateful today to be able to continue to do that. I am Jesse. It's July. It's my first show of July. Yesterday, obviously, was July 1st, Canada Day. The station was closed. And all sorts of, you know, various celebrations. Obviously Canada Day celebrations, some anti-Canada Day celebrations. There are a lot of perspectives on that day, on what it means for the country, and whether to think critically about the country and how we got here, or to just embrace it full-throated. And it's interesting, particularly at this time in history where we have the World Cup here and, you know, a inherently nationalistic sporting tournament, that I'm always so fascinated because, you know, growing up in social studies class, we were taught about all sorts of things, and nationalism was always sort of painted in this, like, well, it's dangerous and it's not good unless it's for your country. And that tension has always resonated with me. And so every year on July 1st, I'm a little skeptical. And, you know, obviously I'm very lucky to live where I live and to live when I live in this point in history. And I benefit tremendously from the colonial actions of my ancestors in this place, Canada, British Columbia. And I always try to think about that. Anyway, today on the show, the main bit of business is going to be a cool two-part piece from Ian Gregg at CFUR in Prince George about a cool little train that might not be around for all that much longer. So we'll spend most of the hour listening to that, but we'll also have a little bit of other stuff, including, as always, some local music. And we're going to go to, well, it's going to be a little heavy to start, and, well, both topic-wise and sort of genre-wise. We're going to Anchoress, the band of former CJSF music coordinator Ricky Castaneda Laredo. And their new release, which is called Cold Opens, features the song Occupied Territories, which is about the American imperialistic threat of, you know, turning Canada into the 51st state, but also just the sort of colonial history of Canada and where we are. So we're going to hear that, and then we'll get into some talk. This is Occupied Territories by Anchoress.
We'll
Who doesn't love music? Join the weekly discussion at the CJSF Record Club with other music aficionados checking out new releases and forgotten classics, exploring and learning about genres and loving music. Every Thursday at CJSF Burnaby from 4 p.m. till 5 p.m. Listen, learn, and share.
The BC Nurses Union has issued a 72-hour strike notice after its members voted to reject a tentative agreement that had been reached in late May after 7 months of collective bargaining. Speaking at a press conference on Monday, BCNU President Adrian Gear said the 60,000 members of the union, who are now in a legal position to take job action as of noon on Thursday, July 2nd, are demanding that their frustrations with worsening working conditions be heard.
Nurses are demanding that our work be valued. And we are demanding that government and health employers recognize a simple truth. There is no healthcare system without nurses. For many nurses, this is more than a collective agreement. It is about a profession that has reached a breaking point. It is about nurses who can no longer stay silent as they watch experienced and novice colleagues leave the profession injured and burnt out.
In total, 67% of union members rejected the tentative deal that had been reached with the Health Employers Association of BC. The rejected deal had included improvements to benefits coverage and a general wage increase of 12% over 4 years. Gear suggested that given the severity of working conditions for nurses, the union's members are demanding that the government and health employers prioritize their needs and patient safety first.
This is fundamentally a conversation about priorities. Nurses understand that the provincial government is facing financial difficulties. However, this government has shown it can find resources when something is a priority. For example, over $500 million spent on private agency nursing, or hundreds of millions to host an international sporting event. Today, nurses are demanding that healthcare be a priority for this government, that patient safety be a priority, and that the very people holding the healthcare system together be a priority.
BC Health Minister Josie Osborne said in a statement that nurses are valued members of the healthcare system and that the government respects the right of all workers to bargain collectively, including the decision by union members to take job action. She added that she believes the best agreements are found at the bargaining table and that the government is giving the Health Employers Association and the Nurses Bargaining Association space to conduct their negotiations. Gear says the union is still committed to reaching a new collective agreement through bargaining, but stressed that they are also ready to take job action. She said that action could take different forms, including banning nurses from performing non-nursing duties, restricting overtime, or withdrawing labor, as long as essential service levels are maintained.
But that is the last thing that we want to do. And so by giving this notice, we hope that the government and the employer responds and finds a way to address the concerns of nurses in this province so that we don't have to take that extraordinary step.
The Health Employers Association of BC issued a statement saying that they would also like to return to the bargaining table and are available to meet with the union at any time to find a path forward. They added that BC has essential services orders in place for the health sector to prevent immediate and serious danger to the health of the public in case of any job action. Health Minister Osborne also assured the public that, in the event of job action, people will continue to get the health care they need. She added that the Labor Board has robust processes in place to thoughtfully set what constitutes an essential service. Kootenai Co-op Radio reached out to both the Health Employers Association and the BC Nurses Union to inquire if the parties had returned to the bargaining table, but neither party responded by deadline. For Kootenai Co-op Radio News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Jamie Frederick.
CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby, BC, striving to provide points of view that are rarely expressed in mainstream media.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca. Or CFUR.ca. Hello, dear listeners. You may have heard by now that the miniature steam locomotive known as the Little Prince operating in Calais-Lehtinay Memorial Park which is owned by the City of Prince George and operated by the Exploration Place, will not be making these noises this summer. As the Exploration Place and the Fort George Railway has announced a hiatus on the Little Prince's operations at least for this summer, 2026. Many of our citizens see this anachronistic contraption as an ornament, simply a cherry on top of a beautiful Riverside Municipal Park. Fair, but this little rail machine, with a passenger hauling capacity of over 30 people, has been blowing steam for over 100 years. Right there in the park, you ask? No! All over the provincial north, in fact. But when? But how? But why? You may ask. These questions, answered here in part one of this program, A Hiatus for the Little Prince, a moving story. In addition to the more imminent query of how interruption in passenger service could affect hyper-localized tourist transportation in our provincial north will be answered as well in part two of this segment right here on CIFA Radio 88.7 FM's Due North News. Well, most residents of Prince George, Clayley-Tenay are aware that there's a little steam engine train operating in Clayley-Tenay Memorial Park during the summer months. It's very cute. This is an objective fact. It travels around a small circular track right beside the Exploration Place Museum, which is one of our local nonprofits dedicated to promoting education and preserving history through its museum experience. And while many understand that a lot of people really like trains, as Brian Veek, park manager at the Central BC Railway and Forestry Museum, demonstrates with this anecdote.
But I mean, come on, who doesn't love trains? And I mean, you see some kids literally hovering above the grounds like, oh my God, I'm a train. I've seen a few adults like that too,
yeah,
actually.
Totally.
We had one fella come up with his whole family from
Vancouver. So sure, other than a cute novelty, why should we care about this little contraption? Well, it wasn't always here purely for our entertainment. Alyssa Lear, executive director at the Exploration Place, and Sean Allen, chief engineer of the Fort George Railway, the sub-organization that runs and maintains the Little Prince locomotive, joined CIFA Radio to pull apart the timeline of this miniature unit that literally built critical elements of our town and surrounding area. And in so doing, ended the era of traversing our rivers and waterways, forever dry docking the sternwheelers, paddle wheels, and riverboats that docked along the confluence of the Nechaco and Fraser Rivers, bringing permanent change with them. Join us on this historic rail car ride down the Little Prince's journey through time. All aboard!
You mentioned earlier that it was actually delivered at a former port, hardly 200 meters away from its current resting place right now, here near the park.
So it was originally brought up the Fraser from Vancouver on the BX steamship. So before the railway or any access was up here, primarily everything that was here was brought up via the BX steamship. And it's kind of interesting when you think about it, because the BX steamship was shut down because the railways were built. So it kind of built its own demise. So the Little Prince and five of its brothers and sisters were dropped off in the slough at the original port. They came up to build the railway, and they worked specifically from Tijon Junction out to Prince Rupert. So they built the narrow gauge tracks as they kind of cut through the countryside, through the forests, and they primarily hauled like gravel and lumber and the workers to and from the work site. They just kept chugging along so that they could build the larger bed for the big full-size steam trains to make its way to the coast.
How many years of operation did it have under its belt before it was ultimately retired?
They were designed as temporary workhorses, so they weren't designed to last. So the fact that we have one that's 114 years old is incredible and amazing.
That was never the original engineer's intention. It was supposed to be a throwaway tin can, do your work, get out of here.
Yeah, absolutely. These things didn't shut off. They operated 24/7. They probably saw service for, and obviously this was 114 years ago, so probably between 3 to 5 years, the time it took for the railway to be built. And then after they were done, they ended up over in the island cache. They just got pushed off the side of the tracks and just left.
Adding to Chief Engineer Sean Allen's timeline is Brian Veek over at the Central BC Railway and Forestry Museum with a little more context on the Island Cache area, where the Central BC Railway and Forestry Museum is located. Once a pivotal docking point in river trade routes and the former location of a thriving Métis settlement.
Yeah. Do you know that whole park here used to be a landfill?
No.
Yeah, so this was a garbage dump.
No way, this part goes to the river too.
Yeah, I know, ridiculous, eh? We're not even allowed to put sewer in here. People remember as kids coming here and dumping garbage on this site. That's why we're so much higher than the park next door.
Wow.
Because the Island Cache, this literally used to be called Island Cache, was a separate community from Prince George, up until, I think, the 1970s. This was actually literally an island that was filled in by the railway.
Oh, no
So, yeah,
way.
There was a branch of the river that went down the side there, and this was literally an island with a bridge off the end of Victoria that got you onto the island. And there was an entire community here. There's actually docks and things along the river here where the steamers used to stop to bring construction materials to build the railways.
Wow.
But wait, there's more.
Now, we rejoin Fort George Railway's chief engineer, Sean Allen, over at the Exploration Place, describing how the spare parts for the Little Prince were pulled out of the slough-turned-refuse dump at Island Cache, near the confluence of the Nechaco and Fraser Rivers.
In the 50s, they pulled one of them out and used the parts to rebuild one engine, and then it sat in front of the VA rail station as a static display. Never operated, never fired up. And then in the 70s, CN donated it to the mayor at the time, Harold Moffitt, the owner of Northern Hardware, was the mayor at the time, was when he took the donation for the Little Prince steam engine.
Gotcha. Yeah.
They then came up and built the railway for people to have rides and enjoy it as a non-static display. So it was actually a fully functional railway from, I want to say, 1976, around then, until now. So it's been 50 years since this track was built and laid, and now we're dealing with trying to update and run a 114-year-old piece of equipment.
50-year headache.
Yeah. The requirement at the time was that it be donated to the city for the enjoyment for future generations, and that was a requirement of CN donating it to the city at the time. Yeah.
When I think of steam engines, I think of a coal-fired engine. Is there like a particular grade or quality of coal that you have to source for this thing year after year, or how does it run in that regard?
So what makes the Little Prince special is it actually operates, it's wood burning. So at the time when they were building the railway, wood was plentiful. So this was specifically constructed to use materials that were readily available, which at the time was lumber. So this is operated with lumber rather than coal.
Okay, so it's not even a specific quality of lumber then? It doesn't need white birch or Sitka spruce cured to a exacting density? You can throw whatever you want there?
These engines were designed to just push through and work, so they will accept really any type of fuel as well as water. But obviously with technology and how we know now, if you're burning pitchy wood, just like in a fireplace at home, you'll be cleaning that out of every component. So the ideal situation for us would be running like a nice, clear Douglas fir that's been seasoned.
That is the Little Prince's preference.
Yes.
Gotcha. And these trails that I'm looking at here in front of the Little Prince, back when the rail was being built, these rails would have fit in between the rail that was being laid down. Is that right?
So they would have laid the line rail, the main rail, where they wanted the full-size track to be,
right,
and then they set the smaller rail on the inside and built the full bed so that they then would put down the other main line rail, so they're only, so it would be a three rail track that they were operating on.
I can visualize it in my mind now.
Yes.
One's fitting, throw the other one down beside it. You got three rails down. I get it. What are the similarities and differences between the Little Prince's setup and, say, CN Rail's operation on just the other side of the river here at Clay the Today Memorial Park? We refer to this as a narrow gauge rail set, but what does that really mean?
Ultimately, when it comes down to it, CN's yard and our yard are under the same regulations, same standards, same everything. So we are upheld to CN's standards. The main difference is that our tracks are 24-inch gauge, which means their rails are 24 inches apart. They're very narrow, very unique. Not very many trains were ever designed to run on a 24-inch gauge track, as opposed to the full-size steam locomotives that are over 4 feet gauge.
I think it's important to note that a lot of people think that the Little Prince could just sit on the CN tracks and operate, and that those engineers could operate the Little Prince, but that's not the case. So the tracks are much narrower for the Little Prince, and the engineers that are operating the Little Prince are antique show boiler engineers. So the CN engineers are not actually certified to operate the Little Prince.
It is more specific. There's not just some quick transfer of skills there.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Gotcha.
Very specific.
A factor when it comes to operating a steam engine is that this is high pressure, hot steam moving along on rails. It's a risk to operate.
Yeah, it requires certified engineers and conductors to be present at all times. So what a lot of people don't recognize, we have to get them trained. And what people don't recognize is there's considerable amount of work and time that goes into getting the train operational before it can pull passengers around the park. So each time that we're operating this, we have three guys that are working for 3 hours before it even hits the rails in order to steam it up and get it ready to, you know, pull passengers around the park.
For our purposes, we were only required to have one fully certified antique show boiler engineer.
Okay.
However, with the knowledge that's required, it's more of designed that way as a mentorship system. So you can't go to school for this anymore. It's all site-specific training. They have to physically be here working on the Little Prince in order to get even qualify to write exams to get the certification. So,
and that person is you, is that right?
Well, I am the fully certified chief engineer, so I am responsible. It is my circus, it is my monkeys. But we currently have six other certified engineers that do operate, which has made things a lot easier. We've been working really closely with technical safety for the last 3 years to jump through every hoop and make sure that the guys are proficient in operating Little Prince.
Yeah. So you are doing the mentoring. You're past your menteeing. You're doing the mentoring.
Yes. Hopefully we will be able to find a group of people who will take on some mentorship and will be around to help out.
That's food for thought the next time we get to ride the Little Prince around Clavey Memorial Park here. And it's also a note that if you ever see this thing shooting steam out while you're over at the Exploration Place, this is a limited opportunity.
Yeah.
Get on that thing. Why is the Little Prince the Little Prince? I mean, it's small, I get that, but was there a big prince or a king of the rails that traversed the tracks of northern BC that dominated the shipping industry, or what's the story there?
I'm going to say it's just been a trade name since the railway was built in the 1970s, and it's just stuck. Yep.
Okay. Well, the search continues for the big prince, perhaps. We've just went through quite an arc of the history of this unit, what goes into maintaining it, what the story is behind it. And it's important to remember that this is just a side project for the Exploration Place. This isn't your main function. As the executive director of the Exploration Place, so when it comes to actually year after year operating this thing, what kind of community support do you rely on to make it happen? Because it can't be something that's just done on your own. This is a whole thing on its own.
This little train requires a lot of work and a lot of special knowledge in order to operate. And it is only one thing that we do here at the Exploration Place. It's certainly not the only thing that we do. And it's important to note that this is a city asset. So this track and this train are owned by the City of Prince George. The Exploration Place operates it. And we do that with a $50,000 check each year. But we actually take on a loss to operate the Little Prince seasonally at $50,000. This train typically costs about $100,000 a year to operate. A lot of people don't realize that it takes 3 hours in order to get it operational each day. It takes an hour afterwards. We have to have three certified engineers doing that work. So realistically, each hour that it's operating around the track, we got to make like $650. So you have to sell a lot of tickets in order to break even. And I mean, our ticket price is something we're really proud of. We like to keep it accessible to the public. But at a certain point, if we're not funded appropriately to operate this train, we're going to have to raise those prices in order to pay for it. And this track repair is just one small component of what these bills can add up to be.
So there is a bit of a timeline on how the miniature steam locomotive known as the Little Prince has come to operate in Clavey Tenay Memorial Park, and what a few of its daily challenges are, past satisfying its insatiable appetite for cured Douglas fir firewood, rescued from a disposable destiny by people who recognized just how unique this relatively small, yet extremely heavy and functional piece of history is.
It manages to keep chugging along for a mere $650 an hour. We ask Vice President of Operations at Technical Safety BC, Kate Parker, just how unique a setup like the Little Prince's is. Technical Safety BC is a regulating authority over light rail, heritage rail, and miniature rail systems, including the Little Prince's setup.
So every train park is unique, and we handle them on a case-by-case basis. There are less than 10 miniature train parks in the province, and so we're working specifically with the Little Prince, honoring that it is in a park, and it is a very historical site. This is a unique situation, and as all are all the small railways, heritage railways in the province. They carry upwards of 20,000 passengers a year, many of them children, which means the infrastructure must be sound. Track stability and structural integrity are non-negotiables.
Infrastructure must be sound. Safety non-negotiable. Wait a minute. What did Exploration Place Executive Director Alyssa Lear say?
And this track repair is just one small component of what these bills can add up to be.
Uh-oh. To cover the implications of that, we'll move in to part two of this program on CIFA Radio's Due North. So concludes part one of A Hiatus for the Little Prince, a moving story.
This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at